Shalom, אנחנו לומדים מספר.
Hello, we're reading from the writings of Bala Sulaim, Professor of the Wisdom of Kabbalah, page 535, item 166. You can watch our lesson at Kabbalah TV and send us your questions. Selected questions will be heard in the course of the lesson. The writings of Bala Sulaim, page 535, Preface to the Wisdom of Kabbalah, item 166.
כן, אנחנו ממשיכים. Continuing
to study, we can go backwards or forwards until this whole preface will kind of settle correctly within us. That's usually how we learn. Also, Baal Sulam, the way he writes, he tells us where something is written, where it was mentioned before. Sometimes he refers us to another place. So, it's not a problem if we go back and forth, as long as we scrutinize these matters, and it takes time until it settles in our minds, until we get used to the reshimot and the whole process. So go ahead.
Item 166. Hence, overall,
perhaps before that, starting from hence is not clear. Start 165.
Thus, the four worlds, Atzilut, Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiya, begin from the place below Tabur De'ak and end above the point of this world. This is because the five Patsufim of the world of Atzilut begin from the place below Tabur De'ak and end above the Parsa. And from the Parsa down to this world stand the three worlds Bi'ah. This is the permanent state of the worlds Ak and Abia, and there will never be any diminution in them. It has already been explained that in that state there is only Bechinat Vak without a Rosh in all the Patsufim and the worlds. This is so because even in the first three Partsufim of Atzilut, in whose Roshim there is Gar, they are still not imparted from their Peh down. And all the Gufim are Vak without a Rosh. All the more so in the Partsufim Bi'ah. Even the Partsufim of Ak, with respect to their surroundings, are regarded as lacking Gar as well.
Questions? It's understood what's written, or you want to read again? Again, you see? Go ahead. You read not clearly.
Item 165. Thus, the four worlds, Atzilut, Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiya, begin from the place below Tabur De'ak and end above the point of this world. This is because the five Patsufim of the world of Atzilut begin from the place below Tabur De'ak and end above the Parsa. And from the Parsa down to this world stand the three worlds Bi'ah. This is the permanent state of the worlds Ak and Abia. And there will never be any diminution in them. It has already been explained that in that state there is only Bechinat Vak without a Rosh in all the Patsufim and the worlds. This is so because even in the first three Patsufim of Atzilut, in whose Roshim there is Gar, they are still not imparted from their Peh down. And all the Gufim are Vak without a Rosh, all the more so in the Patsufim Bi'ah. Even the Patsufim of Ak, with respect to their surroundings, are regarded as lacking Gar as well.
Mubon. Understood? Go to item 32.
Item
32 on page 1.
Item 32.
Preface to the Wisdom of Kabbalah, item 32. It has been thoroughly explained the secret of the surrounding light of Ak, whose size is immeasurable. However, it does not mean that Ein Sof, which fills the entire reality, it itself is discerned as surrounding light for Ak. Rather, it means that when the Zivug, the Aka'a, was made on Malchut of Rosh Ak, where Ein Sof stroked the Masach, which is there, which means that he wanted to clothe in Bechinat Dalet the Ak as before the restriction. But the Masach in Malchut of Rosh Ak, stroke it, which means that he detained it from spreading in Bechinat Daled and brought it back. Indeed, this returning light, which emerged through the returning of the light backward, became the Bechina of Kelim for the clothing of the upper light. However, there is a great difference between receiving Bechina Daled before the restriction to receiving the reflected light after the restriction. For it clothed only the Bechina of a thin line in Rosh Ein Sof, where all that was done by the Masach because of its striking on the upper light. And that measure which was rejected from Ak because of the Masach, meaning this whole measure where the upper light from Ein Sof wanted to clothe Bechinat Daled, if it wasn't for the Masach which detained it, it became a surrounding light around Ak. And the reason is because there is no absence in the spiritual. And since the light of Ein Sof extends to Ak to clothe in Bechinat Daled, therefore that should exist this way. Therefore, even though the Masach now detained it and pushed it back, yet it does not contradict the extension of Ein Sof, God forbid. Rather, to the contrary, it sustains it, only in a different way. Meaning by the multiplicity of zivugim in the five olamot Ak and Dabia, until the end of correction, where Bechinat Daled will be corrected by them completely, and then Ein Sof will clothe her as in the beginning. Therefore, no change or absence was made because of the striking of the Masach in the upper light. And that is the meaning of what is written in the Zohar, Ein Sof does not dwell its unification until its couple is given. And meanwhile, till that time, it is considered that this light of Ein Sof has become O Makif, meaning it will clothe it in the future. For now, it circles and shines upon it from the outside with a certain illumination. This illumination accustomed it to expand by the right laws that will bring it to receive this O Makif in the measure that Ein Sof was initially drawn to it.
Okay. Questions, yeah.
So he says that also the Partsufim of Ak and also in the world of Atzilut there is no Gaur, but these are completely different reasons for it.
What are they?
The Partsufim of Ak cannot receive below the Tabur, and in the Partsufim of Olam Atzilut it is because there are the limitations of their shattering until all the vessels are not gathered. So why does he compare between the two states?
What does it matter if they cannot receive the whole light of Ein Sof in order to be stoned? Then there is no Gal. No Gal. There's only seemingly Gal with whatever is possible. When he uses all the vessels to a certain extent, we call that Gal. Gal of Atzilut, or even Gal of Bia. But certainly, the surrounding light that departed in Tzimtzum Aleph can only be received in the final correction because of the stony heart. So all that we prepare until then is just a thin, thin pipeline. More? Yes.
He says there is no Gal in Rosh, and in the Parzufim of Atzilut there is Gal in Rosh, but it is not expressed in their body as well.
That depends on what Gal you're talking about.
The first three in the Parzufim of Atzilut.
First three in the Parzufim of Atzilut, they have a very specific limitation, which is a Chap of Aliyah. The world of Atzilut itself is in Vak, Katnut. And his Gadlut is only by vessels that rise from Bia to Atzilut. Then they complete the world of Atzilut with Gadlut of the first kind. In Gadlut of the second kind, or Gadlut in its place, will be only after the final correction, when all the vessels rise to Atzilut, all the vessels will join Atzilut, all the Achap of Ascents will connect to Gagal Tainayim, then Rav Pa'alim HaKapciel will come. When we have all these Achap and Gagal Tainayim connecting to them from above, there will be a descent, the Achap of Descent.
What does it mean that there is Gal in Rosh, but it is not expressed in the Guf? We realize that if the Rosh performs an action, then...
No, it's not like in Tzimtzum Aleph. No, there's a problem here. Specifically because there was a shattering and there's a Chap of Ascent, and below the Pulsa we cannot receive light of Chochmah, then there's only Gal in the Rosh and Vak in the Guf. We'll learn that later on in Atzilut. Okay? Yeah. Yes.
In Katnut, the Achap of the Upper One serves as Achap of Ascent towards Galgal Tainayim of the Lower One. And the moment it receives the Galgalta, and the moment Galgal Tainayim of the Lower One gets the ability to raise itself, it serves as direct light for it.
Sorry, I haven't...
In Katnut, the Galgalta Einaim of the Lower One is connected to the Achap of the Upper One.
Yes.
And the moment it gets its Gadlut from Achap of the Upper One in his Gal, and he can raise itself, so the Achap of the Upper One serves as direct light for him, as in an ordinary partsuf.
What's a Chap of the Upper One serves as direct light? I don't understand.
The moment the lower partsuf reaches Gadlut.
When does he reach Gadlut? In what way? What are you talking about exactly? Galgalta and I am of the Upper One joining, of the Lower One, joining a Chap of the Upper One, yeah?
It reaches a state where he can raise itself later on.
After he's included in the Upper One, and he gives Gadlut to the Upper One, by integrating with the Upper One, then the Upper One gives birth to him and gives him Gadlut in his place. Yes.
And then it serves for him as a direct light. Accordingly, he can perform his calculation as in an ordinary partsuf.
It's until the final correction, we don't have a regular partsuf. After the shattering, there is no regular partsuf until the final correction. No, because we don't use the true malchut. All right? Yes, Danny.
He writes in the beginning of the item, and it was thoroughly explained, the secret of the surrounding light of Ak, who is immeasurable. But then he mentions that it does not mean that Ein Sof fills the entire reality. He himself is a surrounding light for Ak.
However, what?
So what is that distinction? What else is there that surrounds Ak?
Let's say that after all the Potsufim, all Potsufim in all the worlds receive in order to bestow, and light fills all the Potsufim, all the pipelines. We have the surrounding light left. And that's because we're not using the true will to receive, but only a desire to receive that is somewhat included in the desire to bestow. Meaning that what we receive until the final correction is only a very thin line. And all the light around the line is what we have from the light of Ein Sof. Only in the last action of Rav Pali Mekabtziel, all the light of Ein Sof enters, not through the line, but the circle that it was now becomes like a line, meaning equipped with a screen. So what are you asking?
Even before everything was created, light filled the entire reality.
Right.
And this is the surrounding light for everything that was created. And then he makes such a distinction which I can't understand the difference.
The light does not change. It's the same light that the Creator dedicated to creation. In the thought of creation, he created the created being, and that means there is light and a black point within the light. And then it begins to evolve. And the more it can resemble the light, the more it is considered to have inner light. And to the extent that it is incapable, it's called surrounding light. What's the question?
The light around does not change. What the Kli can bring in comes in, but what surrounds him?
The surrounding light enters by many actions. The surrounding light nevertheless enters the desire according to equivalence of form. This is called the darkness shines as light. The vessel itself cannot shine, but only through receiving in order to bestow. Galgalta, for instance, received 20%, so 80% remains outside until the whole surrounding light becomes inner light once again. This is the way to depict the dvikut between the Creator and the created being. That the Creator will fulfill the created being. All right? Yes.
Let's take Patsuf Galgalta, which calculates for the entire Malchut of Ein Sof.
Yes.
So even if it does not receive, below the taboo, it realizes that it cannot receive. There is light of chasadim. There is distinction there for the whole light.
What does it mean? He understands. He made a calculation in the Rosh, and what he ends up with in the Toch Ein Sof is simply a decision of the Rosh.
Correct. But this is a calculation for the 100% of the light.
Yes.
So why is it vak then without gar?
Because he's not using his will to receive in full. He doesn't use Prina Dalit. He nevertheless uses the first prior three Prinot. Prina Dalit has no Masach and it's unusable. Yes.
And the complete Partsuf with Gar and Is it not enough that he calculates for everything? He also has to use everything, and that makes him a complete patsuf?
It depends on what you mean by complete. When we talk about complete patsufim here, none of them is complete, because until the final correction, there is no true malchut in any patsuf.
Why does he make such separation all of a sudden? Because till now we...
Right, because he wants to say that the true surrounding light remains and we cannot accept it, cannot do anything about it, besides rejecting it. That in each of us there is such a will to receive that we just can't cope with. And so the Creator locks it up from above, only shows it in the final correction. And so in the corrections of Adam HaRishon, we already have the correction of that will to receive, meaning we feel the boundary where we can and cannot receive. And attaining that boundary is already a kind of correction. I also know that beyond that I'm incapable, and so on. And that is, I correct myself by not being capable, but I still struggle with it. I hold on, and of course it's by the light.
If I understand correctly, it remains the same state as it was in Nikudim, where the Achap of the Partsufim remain only with the past, only in, also in Atzilut.
What about Achap?
If I remember correctly, you told us that in Nikudim, the Achap of Partsufim do not reach Gadlut, rather they only serve as a passageway for the light, from one Partsuf to another.
No, in the world of Nikudim, they received the light in order to bestow, they wanted to receive in all the Prinat Dalet. Therefore, they were broken.
But before the shattering,
there's Katnut.
So the Rachab serves only in order to pass on the light without reaching Gadlut in their upper part above the Parsa. Before the shattering,
we had Katnut of Keter, Katnut of Abba Ve'ima, and Katnut of Zon. That's Katnut. Now, we had Gadlut in Keter, and by Galgalta Enayim of Abba Ve'ima joining the Keter, the Gadlut of the true Rosh, which is Abba Ve'ima, that joined them. What joined them is Galgalta Enayim of Zon, and in Galgalta Enayim of Zon there was Gadlut of the first kind. Meaning, in Galgalta Enayim of Abba Ve'ima. Afterwards, they expanded below, into the goof, into the zone. What in the Rosh they received and then expanded into the goof. That's where the shattering happened.
And then after the shattering, the world of correction was made. And every partsuf in the world of correction collected what it had to collect from the world of Nikudim.
When the world of Atzilut expanded, then the world of Nikudim becomes a nukva for it, meaning the world of Atzilut takes parts from the world of Nikudim, broken parts, and by joining these parts to himself, he grows.
That I understand. What I mean is, since the Patsufim don't make it to Gadlut, but nonetheless they use their Achap,
the Patsufim of Nikudim came to Gadlut and then broke. So their Reshimot from the Shvira exist as Reshimot of true Gadlut.
So in the world of Atzilut, that state exists in the part above the Parsa?
Therefore, in the world of Atzilut, the correction can only be in Galgalta Einayim, Gadlut of the first kind, that there is Galgalta Einayim, and to it we can add, through ascent from below upwards, the parts of a chap. Okay. Who else?
No.
On the one hand, we say that Olam Atzilut, its role is to correct the souls which rose from below. And on the other side, we say that it corrects the world of Nikudim. Can you explain the two?
No, I can't explain this yet because we haven't yet learned Adam HaRishon. But the role of Adama, the world of Atzilut, is to correct the world of Nikudim. Just think about it like that. There was a shattering, and the world of Atzilut corrects the shattering. Without the broken vessels, it is simply Aleph Shorish Tzimtzum Bet.
Rachamim,
what do you want?
He writes, Baal HaSulam writes here, and meanwhile, meaning until that time, it is regarded that the light of Ein Sof became a surrounding light, which means that it is about to clothe him afterwards, and now it surrounds and shines it only from the outside with a certain illumination. That illumination is capable of spreading throughout the same worthy rules which can bring him to receive that surrounding light to the measure that Ein Sof was drawn to him in the beginning. Now, from that, I have a question.
Yes.
That verse, does it strengthen the law of nature? Without restriction, there is no reception of light, and the kli is unfit for its role. Is it like this?
Yes, of course. Tzimtzum Aleph is a law that is unchanging. Anyone who violates it is shattered.
Do you allow me?
What? To violate Tzimtzum Aleph? What?
No, I want to continue. Do you allow it?
Go ahead, ask.
Why and how and if Tabu, Ibur, Chaze is Yenika, Pe is Mochin?
Maybe the other way around?
Thank you very much.
Shamir, you stopped asking. Try. All right, let's continue.
166. Therefore, there are three ascents in order to complete the olamot in three levels: neshama, chaya, yechida, which they miss.
Because galgalta einayim nefesh ruach, which is katnut, they have that, and all they lack is a chap. And a chap cannot be real, but only through ascent, through integration, not with their own vessels, in their own.
And these ascents depend on raising of man of the lower ones. The first ascent is when the lower ones raise man from a view of Bechina Bet. At that time, the achap of the level of Bina and Neshama with respect to the ten sefirot of the second kind are sorted from the illumination of the dot of Shuruk. These mochin shine to the Zat and the Gufim as well, like in the Patsufim of Ak. When the full quantity that exists in the ten sefirot in the roshim of the partsufim of Ak traverses and spreads to the gufim as well.
You see, it's all quiet, so read again.
166. Hence, overall, there are three ascents to complete the worlds in the three levels, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida, which they lack.
Is that clear? Yes. There's Katnut, and we need to reach Gadlut.
These ascents depend on the lower ones' raising of man.
Is that also clear? Deficiency, to ask, that's what we need. And the Creator keeps awakening and awakening, and we don't turn to Him, we don't organize the right request. Yes. And then the ascent.
The first ascent is when the lower ones raise man from a view of Bechina Bet. At that time, the achap of the level of Bina and Neshama, with respect to the 10 sefirot of the second kind, are sorted from the illumination of the dot of Shuruk. These mochin shine to the Zat and the Gufim as well, like in the Patsufim of Ak. When the full quantity that exists in the 10 sefirot in the Roshim of the Partsufim of Ak traverses and spreads to the Gufim as well.
We can read, like he tells us here, item 135. How it happens. So let's see.
135. Item 135.
עמוד 192, עוד קוף למד ה' ומין הבית הוא
And the second kind is when the degree is completed in ten sefirot by her own force, meaning when Zon of Ak illuminated the new light through the Yesod of Ak, which is called the Dot of Shuruk for Abba Ve'ima. And it lowered the low hay from Nikve Naim of Abba Ve'ima themselves to their peh. By that, he raised the kelim of Achap of Abba Ve'ima from the place of their falling to Zat to the Rosh of Abba Ve'ima. And they complemented for them the 10 sefirot. Thus, now Abba Ve'ima are completed by themselves, since now they have obtained the actual kelim, the achap, that they lacked. Yet, in the first kind, when they receive their wholeness from Keter by Dvekut in his achap, the Achap were really missing. But by being included in Keter, they received an illumination from their Achap, which suffices only to complete them in 10 Sefirot while they were still in the place of Keter, and not at all when they departed from there to their own place.
Okay. So we have Katnut in the world of Nikudim. Then Gadlut was made by raising the vessels upwards. Then there was Gadlut in the Rosh, and from there it expanded to the Toch.
Kuvlametei.
135, I'm repeating again. And the second kind of Gadlut, where the degree is completed in ten sefirot by her own strength, not that the upper one raises it.
Yesh lano.
We have, say, the upper one and the lower one.
Mm-hmm.
Gadlut of the second kind. The second kind is a degree that was completed into 10 sefirot by itself. Meaning, when the zone of Ak illuminated this new light through the yesod of Ak, that's not so important. How they illuminated, called the dot of Shuruk to Abba Ve'ima, and lowered the lower hay from Nikve Naim of Abba Ve'ima themselves to their pe. Meaning, that Masach goes down. Abba Ve'ima enter Gadlut. They go into Gadlut. They become complete ten sefirot. By that they elevated the kelim of Achap of Abba Ve'ima as well. They became complete ten sefirot. From the place to which they fell in Zat to the Rosh of Abba Ve'ima. Meaning here there's already a matter of the upper one. And after that, basically the lower one. Abba Ve'ima raised their Achap above and completed their ten sefirot. Thus, now Abba Ve'ima are completed by themselves. This is their Achap, this is their Gelgal Ta'anayim. Is that clear? All of that, of course, is by the light they have received, which is considered Vav and Nekuda, Shuruk. I don't know, are you with me or not? However, in the first kind of Gadlut, when they received their completion from Keter through Dvekut with his Achap, which was in the upper one, right? In the world of Nikudim, what did we have? How do we draw it as like this: Keter, Abba Ve'ima, and Zon. So Keter, which received Gadlut, Abba Ve'ima, with the Chap of Keter, joined and received Gadlut of the first kind. Now Abba Ve'ima themselves received the light. This is called Cholam, and the light that is now received is called Shuruk. By that, Abba Ve'ima grow by in and of themselves, meaning they themselves consider their Achap. This is their Achap. Because in truth, Achap were missing. Wait a second. However, in the first kind, when they received their completion from Keter through Dvekut with its Achap, they were actually still deficient of the Achap. But owing to their Hitkalelut in Keter, they received an illumination from the Achap of Keter, which sufficed only to complete them in the Ten Sefirot while they were still in the place of Keter. In short, they received Ten Sefirot by having here Achap of Keter with Gelgal Ta'anayim of Abba Ve'ima. And not at all when they departed from there to their own place. This is what happened to us in Gadlut of the first kind. Okay, next. Let's read perhaps 136 to make things clearer. Similarly, there are two kinds of completions in the Zat too. Read, please.
136. Similarly, there are two kinds of completions in the Zat too. The first is during the illumination of Shuruk and the ascent of Achap de Abba Ve'ima. At that time, the Galgal Ta'anayim de Zat that are attached to them rose along with them to Abba Ve'ima too, where they received an Achap to complete their ten sefirot. These Achap are no longer the real Achap, but only an illumination of Achap, sufficient to complete the ten sefirot while they are in Abba Ve'ima, and not at all upon their descent to their own place. The second kind of completion of the Ten Sefirot, which the Zat obtained during the Hitpashtut, expansion of Mochin from Abba Ve'ima to the Zat, by which they too lowered their ending, lower hay, from their Chazeh, to the Siyum Raglaim of Ak.
Meaning Abba Ve'ima received Gadlut. And this way they passed the light of Gadlut to Zon,
elevated their Tanhi from Bi'ah and connected them to their degree to Atzilut. Then, had they not been broken and died, they would have been completed with 10 complete Sefirot by themselves, since now they have obtained the actual Achap that they lacked.
Let's go back to where we are.
167 on page 535. It turns out that when this Mochin traverses the Parzufim of Atzilut, each of the five Partsufim of Atzilut receives Mochin, the Bina and Neshama, called Mochin, the Sag, which illuminate Gar to their Partsufim as well, as in Ak. Hence, it is then considered that they grow and rise and clothe the Partsufim of Ak to the extent of the Mochin that they achieved.
Just like in the ascent that was there, now also the ascent in the Potsufim of Atzilut. This is what he wants to say. In the world of Nikudim, there was an ascent when there is Gadlut in the upper one, because a part of the upper one lies within the lower one. So the moment the upper one receives Gadlut, his part rises and then joins, let's say, Gelgal Tanaim. So the lower one that was bonded with it during the Katnut stays bonded and rises with the part of the upper one in a sense. This is the whole matter of the creation of the worlds. We have this from Nikudim. Afterwards, it is formed in the world of Atzilut. This is called the ascent of the worlds. In the Sabbath, in the holidays, by the man of the lower ones, this is the matter of the ascent of the worlds, where the upper one receives force, raises his achap, and carries with it the Galgal Tanaim of the lower one. That's all there is. Yes.
The low one, when it rises, with whom does he complete his Gadlut? With the Achap of the upper one? Rav, yes, with the Achap of the upper one. The upper one attaches him to himself. In Atzilut, there is only Achap of Aliyah. But it is also written that there is an illumination from his Achap. The question is, what's the difference, Rav? Where is it written? Show me. I want to know. Don't just say it. So find it and show it to me. Another question. It says that Partsufim of Atzilut, when they grow and rise and clothe the Partsufim of Ak in their Gadlut. What does it mean, this action, Rav? It's like every Partsuf clothes another Partsuf. Ab clothes Galgalta. It receives from Galgalta. You might ask what clothing is. He receives from Galgalta, and Galgalta gives birth to him. It's not it. He closes Galgalta. It means that he receives an illumination and nourishment from her. You might say, so what does it mean that it clothes her from the outside? Supposedly, it closes Galgalta as an external clothing. In Galgalta, there is masach, desire. It makes a zivug daka, coupling of striking. It builds a new partzuf over the reshimot, which awaken in her, and she gives birth to him. After she gives birth to him, what happens next? He closes hair. He receives from her. What does it mean that he receives? There is Masach in Galgalta, which gave birth to Ab, and the same Masach takes care of Ab. So what does it mean that one closes over the other, is attached to the other, to such an extent that we say that Ab expands from Pede Galgalta down to Tabur? That's it. What difference does this make? Perhaps he doesn't clothe there exactly. Really? He should clothe below Galgalta. After Galgalta is over, then Ab spreads. After Ab spreads, then Sag spreads below him. What does it mean that the Patsufim clothe on each other? Are you listening? Where is it written about the clothing of the Patsufim? Is it hard to find? Did you find? What, the Patsufim clothing act? We just read it in 167. It turns out that when these mochin traverse the Patsufim of Atzilut, each of the five Patsufim of Atzilut receives mochin, the bina and neshama, called mochin the sag, which illuminate gar to their Patsufim as well, as in ak. Hence, it is then considered that they grow and rise and clothe the Patsufim of Ak to the extent of the mochin that they achieved, Rav. So really, it's not that one is attached to the other and clothe the other light in light, suppose. Rather, because they receive from the previous Patsuf through the Masach and not by any other way, but because it has a certain part from the previous Patsuf, according to the different aviyut, also according to the intensity of the different zivug which the upper one performs from him, therefore it is considered that it is attached to him on the outside. This is how we say it. There is a connection between them, of course, by a pipeline, as we call it. As we say that this is a thin pipeline that spreads from above downward. But in order to mention that there is a connection of the upper one to the lower one and the lower one to the upper one, so we say that they are attached to each other, and where they are attached, a measure corresponding to another measure. Let's say Ab is attached to Galgalta, and Galgalta, it comes out from Ab de Galgalta, as he mentions in the Ilan book, and Sag turns Sag in Ab, and Sag in Galgalta, and it's the same for all, everyone. Okay, go ahead and ask. There's no rush. We're going to chew it. The problem is that those things take time to settle down. There is a confusion, then it becomes clearer, another confusion, and it becomes clearer. A question. I wanted to ask about the additional mochin and how it's related to the makifim. Is it the mochin that enter the patsuf, are they related to the mochin which stand on the outside? The same mochin that enter, do they come from the surrounding light that awaits them? Rav, of course. If it wasn't for the surrounding light, there wouldn't be a bitush of pnim and makif. The patsufim wouldn't spread onward. It is because of the pressure of the surrounding light that you have this further expansion. Of course. That is why it is a must for the surrounding light to appear to pressure the patsuf, and it demands the patsuf to receive, even if it is not in order to bestow. It doesn't matter. The upper light doesn't make such a calculation. This is something that the lower one has to do. He decided this law for himself of the first restriction. The lower one did. and the surrounding light, he keeps pushing him, like in Bechinat Shoresh of four phases of direct light. It's the same everywhere. It keeps pushing the low one. It wants to be received to the fullest. We can see it on ourselves. Am I capable of receiving in order to bestow? So I do that. If I'm not capable to, then the upper light forces me to receive. In order to receive through shattering and through such problems, nonetheless, I reach corrections. If the upper light wouldn't have pushed me in any case, us, we wouldn't have advanced. What, we would have waited till we had a masach or something? The light is not waiting for anything. You see what's happening to the world, what's happening to us? Is that okay? Question. The explanation you gave about the patsufim following the other, it's like this ammunition that another bullet comes in and another greater light is received. Suppose, Rav, it's the entrance of the light to the patsuf. This is a clear mechanism. Every patsuf coming through, another light, a greater light is received above. But what happens in Gadlut and Katnut, everything that happens in Katnut is a different mechanism. With the Achap, Rav, what exactly? The entrance of the light to the world of Nikudim, it's not according to the way the light expands in the patsuf, because Aleph Shoresh, Aleph Bet Gimel Dal, right? This is how Neran Chai enter a patsuf. No. In the world of Nikudim, there is no such thing, because there you have a Zivug on Katnut and Zivug on Gadlut. That's it. So there is no gradual entrance of the lights into the patsuf. Rather, there is one zivug over Katnut, as we had Bet Aleph Tzimtzum Bet, 2x1 second restriction, and then the light enters from above, from Sag. It enters the patsuf. You mean to say that when the light comes from Sag and enters patsuf of Nikudim, does it enter patsuf of Nikudim gradually? It enters patsuf of Nikudim gradually, as in a cartridge. But if we're talking about patsuf Ak, there it was work every time, receives more and more and more. However, here the decision was taken in Rosh Desag, and the low one received. It receives the light along with the Masach. He doesn't make a Zivug Dehaka, a coupling of strike below. He doesn't make his own decision. He is a result of what's happening in Rosh Desag. Everything is determined by the Masach in Rosh Desag, like in Olam Adam Kadmon, in Ak, in Galgalta, suppose. The Masach makes a Zivug De'aka'a, it makes a calculation, and then the light spreads from above downward into the goof gradually. Tamim, Shoresh, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Root, 1, 2, 3, 4. Here, also, it's root 1, 2, 3, 4. This is how the light expands. There is no other way. But all the decisions are taken in Rosh Desag and not in Patsufim, Keter, Ve'aba, Ve'ima. They don't have a Masach by which they decide what needs to be done. Rather, everything is done in Rosh Desag. Okay, it doesn't matter. We will learn that. Coleman, yes. It says here about the three ascents. I could identify only two.
What two were you able to identify?
The first kind and the second kind.
First and second kind are not ascents. They are completions of the ten sefirot. The first ascent and the second ascent and the third ascent. Where do the ascents come from? In the world of Atzilut? Because in the first ascent there is Ibur, the second Yenika, the third Mochin.
Does it come from the low ones or from above?
comes from the Reshimot. The Reshimot exists in the lower ones, but by the light from above, the Reshimot awaken, and then there's Zivugim and ascent over them. That's the third ascent.
But those ascents, they come from the Reshimot below, from the Reshimot.
The Reshimot are broken below, that's correct, yes.
What is man in terms of a view of the of Prina Bet? What is it talking about here exactly?
Where is it written?
Item 166.
Overall, there are three ascents to complete the world in the three levels, Neshama Chaya Echida, which they lack. Meaning, besides Galgal Te'anayim, we need the ascents also for Bet Gimel Dalet, which is a Chap. These ascents depend on the lower ones raising man. The first ascent is when the lower ones raise man from a view of Prina Bet. At that time, the Chap of the level of Bina and Neshama, with respect to the ten sefirot of the second kind, are sorted from the illumination of the dot of Shuruk, just like Abba Ve'ima received Gadlut in the world of Nikudim. These Mochin shine to the Zat and the Gufim as well, like in the Partsufim of Ak, when the full quantity that exists in the ten sefirot in the Rashim of the Partsufim of Ak traverses and spreads to the Gufim as well. So that's the completion of the first ten sefirot. And then when these mochin traverse the partsufim of Atzilut, each of the five partsufim of Atzilut receives mochin of Bina and Neshama, called mochin of Sag, which illuminate Gal to their partsufim as well as in Ak. Hence, it is then considered that they grow and rise and clothe the partsufim of Ak, to the extent of the mochin that they achieved. Thus, when Partsuf Atik of Atzilut obtained these mochin of Bina, it rises and clothes Partsuf Bina of Ak. Opposite the level of Sag of Partsuf Galgalta of Ak. So in Galgalta, we have Galgalta Ab Sag. So, the world of Atzilut, which received this completion, clothes the Sag of Galgalta, right? From which it receives Prinat Neshama of Yechida of Ak, which shines for his Zat too. When the Mochin come to Partsuf Abba Ve'ima, Partsuf Arechanpin of Atzilut, it ascends and clothes the Rosh of Atik, of the constant state. In the meantime, Atik rose. Opposite the level of Sag of Partsuf Ab of Ak, from which it receives Prinat Neshama of Chaya of Ak, which shines for its Zat. When the Mochin come to the Partsuf Ab of Ema of Atzilut, it ascends and clothes the constant Gal of Arechanpin. Opposite the level of Bina of Sagovak, from which it receives Prinat Neshama of Neshama of Ak, which shines to their Zat too. And when these Mochin come to Ishsut and Zon of Atzilut, they ascend and clothe the constant Abba Ve'ima, opposite the level of Bina of Partsuf Ma and Bon of Ak. Well, and so forth. So that's a lot easier to see in the Sefer Ha'ilan, and you can open it and see it there.
I still don't understand that principle. How is there a request from the lower one by themselves? This is what Eyal asked before. It is written at the beginning of item 135. And the second kind.
No, first of all, express a question that's understandable. What are you asking?
In Adam 135, it says, and the second kind is when the degree is completed by ten sefirot by her own first. How come a degree is completed by her own first? Where does it add a force? from anywhere. United 135.
135. Please, I'm with you. And the second kind is that the degree is completed in Ein Sefirot by her own strength. When the zone of Ak shined a new light, which is called the point of Shuruk, to Abba Ve'ima, and they lowered the lower hay from Nikve Naim to their pay, by which they raised the vessels of Achab of Abba Ve'ima from the place to which they fell in Zat to the Rosh of Abba Ve'ima, and completed their own ten sefirot. Not by Keter, but by themselves they are now completed, since now they have obtained the actual ten sefirot, because their Achab joined their Galgal Ta'anayim. For now they obtained the actual vessels of Achab that they lacked. Yet, in the first kind, when they received their completion from Keter, through Dvekut with its Achab, when Galgal Ta'anayim were bonded with Achab of Keter and there was Gadlut of the first kind, they were still actually deficient of the Achab. But owing to their Hitkarelut in Keter, they received an illumination from their Achab, which sufficed only to complete them in ten sefirot, while they were still in the place of Keter, and not at all when they departed from there to their own place. So you ask?
So in Gadlut of the first kind, it is because they received an illumination.
Keter gave an illumination to Abba Ve'ima, Galgal Ta'anayim of Abba Ve'ima, and Galgal Ta'anayim of Abba Ve'ima were glued or bonded to Achab of Keter, and with it they became ten sefirot. This is called Gadlut of the first kind. And this is what I drew here. The first kind. Gadlut of the first kind. This is clear, yeah?
No, no.
Gadlut of the first kind is not clear? Go ahead, ask.
David from Tbilisi is asking whether Katnut and Gadlut are measures of revelation of the light.
Of course, every little change in the sefirot, in their relationship, influences the light and the other way around. A change in the light influences the sefirot. Works in both ways.
He's also asking, what does someone who doesn't understand anything do?
It's not important. In the meantime, and I'm telling this to everyone, I'm saying to everyone, those who are listening, Gia, you're listening? Raise your hand. Okay, good. Anyone who's listening and not understanding, it doesn't matter that you're not understanding, as long as you're trying to listen, and accordingly your vessels become corrected, and later on, even though you don't understand, you suddenly start understanding. How does it happen? Tell me, how does a child suddenly learn language? We speak and speak and speak around him, and suddenly he starts understanding. We start seeing it. How does it happen? It just happens. That's how it is. And that is the correct form of learning, which is not activating the mind, but letting the vessels grow, and then you understand. So, it's not the smart one who learns. It's the one who nullifies himself. Yes.
There's another question. I don't know if it's related to the lesson, but Sergei is asking, what is Malchut, the real Malchut, that we cannot use?
Will be corrected in the final correction. Yeah. Okay? Yes, Eddie.
We always long to feel what is written here in the preface. What's the initial emotional difference between Gadlut of the first kind and Gadlut of the second kind? It is an essential difference.
Well, of course, you know, you remember the story about Elijah, that he went up to heaven. That's Gadlut of the first kind. Grabbing hold of Ahab of the upper one, and the Ahab of the upper one raises him. However, what are we praying for? For Eliyahu or Elijah to come. When he descends on us from above, that's called Gadlut of the second kind.
These are just words yet, but can you explain what happens to the created being, what happens to us when we are in such a state?
Sometimes we feel an awakening. That's an integration with the upper one raising us. We did many, many, many actions, and in order to somehow bestow, somehow make an effort, we've completed the quota of effort, and that effort reached a certain quota, and then the upper one raises us. That's it. That's how it works.
This is Gadlut of the second kind.
Of the first kind.
Why first?
Because we rise together with the Chab of the upper one. We nullify before the upper one. Galgal Ta'anayim of the lower one nullifies to a Chab of the upper one.
But this is through annulment. But Gadlut of the second kind is when you raise man.
Gadlut of the second kind is even without raising man. There's this option and that option. But if we're talking about Gadlut of the second kind, then they receive from Nehi of Ak to Abba Ve'ima. In short, Gadlut of the first kind, everything happens by the upper one. We only nullify ourselves. Gadlut of the second kind, when it already happens in its place. But we're going to soon have the vessels for it. Yes.
I don't understand if we're talking about the five parts of Imuf Atzilut, which perform all kind of ascents, or the world of Nikudim, which performs all kind of ascents.
Again.
Which ascents are we talking about here? The world of Atzilut or the world of Nikudim?
It doesn't matter. It's not important. What we learn is what kinds of ascents can happen. The world of Nikudim is the foundation for the world of Atzilut. Tzimtzum Bet happens there first. And then in the world of Atzilut, it keeps going. It continues.
Suppose there are ascents in Olam Atzilut that affects the world of Nikudim as well? Does it raise the world of Nikudim as well somehow?
I didn't understand. The world of Nikudim was shattered, and its pieces enter correction. Now comes the world of Atzilut, which to begin with emerges on the Rashimot Aleph Shorosh Tzimtzum Bet, and joins to itself the broken vessels from the world of Nikudim, and then by Rishimo Dalet Gimel, which nevertheless remains from Nehi of Ak, and by the broken vessels that he joins to himself, the world of Atzilut becomes an adult and corrects everything. On the one hand, it receives lights from above. Dalet Gimel receives from Nehi of Ak. His Rishimo is very, very little. But when he joins the broken vessels, as a result of correcting them gradually, he positions himself like that. And to him, it's divided very clearly. The world of Atzilut is all in all Gagal Te'anayim. The worlds of Bia are Achap. So, and there everything happens big time. It happens in a way that stands out. The difference between Gagal Te'anayim and Achap in each and every detail there, great discernments were made. In order to correct something, you have to make a lot of actions. But in order to correct even, you know, it's like with ants, that you need thousands of ants in order to just carry a small piece of bread, let's say, from one place to another. But specifically, because each and every one can receive such a little portion, it enables us to make actions in order to bestow by nullifying ourselves a bit more and a bit more over many years, many actions. Yes.
In Gadlut of the first kind, Galgaltana of the lower one attached to a half of the upper one and rise along with them.
I want
to ask something else. What does it mean, or by what Galgalta and Naim of the lower one cling to the Chap of the upper one?
By annulling themselves.
By what do they annul themselves? By perhaps receiving some illumination from above, right? So that's called an ascent, or is it? What you're asking me is actually this question. Does the world of Nikudim rise above, or it receives Gadlut in its place? You understood the question? Yeah. So, what do you think?
I think in its place, right?
This is called in its place, yeah. On the one hand, it has an ascent because it clings to a chap of the upper one, but it's a gadlut of the first kind. It rises by itself, and it's not that the whole world rises. Later, he has gadlut in his place.
And that transition from gadlut of the first kind to the second kind. What did the low one gain from moving on from Gadlut of the first kind to the second kind? What addition does he have?
An addition from Galdanaim, that they are now in Gadlut, and through them he can receive another addition so as to enrich is a chap. So after the little one becomes like the grown-up, then he can use the vessels of the grown-up. Afterwards we see in the years of the nursing, yenika, and the gadlut, these things take us towards ibu, yenika, and mochin.
So when we're talking about ascents, nothing ascend nowhere. The action, the very fact that Galgalta and Naim of the low one are attached to Galgalta and Naim of the low one by receiving an illumination, that is what we considered an ascent.
But in Atzilut, it's really an ascent, because below the Palsa, corrections cannot happen. All the corrections happen above the Palsa, and that's where the adhesion with the upper one is done. Meaning in Atzilut, there is no achap of descent, there's only achap of ascent. So what happened and caused the shattering in Nikudim doesn't exist there. Only an ascent. All right. I see that you're getting tired from this. I don't know. Maybe study something else. I don't know. You want to continue, or you want to move to different material? Who's in favor of moving to different material? Not redundant, no. What material? No, because really, this requires some time for the mind to get used to these terms and the shemot and everything. So, we have 9th of Av, okay, very suitable for our state. Where are we there? Selected excerpts. Yeah, let's see. Go ahead.
Moving on.